you, sir. Praise the Lord.
All right, open your Bibles, if you will, please, to Acts chapter number 17. Acts in chapter number 17 in your Bibles, if you will. Looking forward to tonight. Have been looking forward to tonight for quite some time. And love coming to Berean. Great to be associated with your pastor and all that he stands for. And Jose, how you doing, sir? I missed you this morning. Well, I missed you. Amen. Glad to see you here. And glad to see, if I could just think of her name. That's your love, I know, but Laura. Amen. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please help us to see what you'd have us to see once again tonight. From your word, thank you for a good group of folks that have come out. And Father, I certainly don't believe by any means that there's anybody here that wants to waste any time. You tell us in your word to redeem the time because the days are evil. And so as we do that tonight, help us to stay focused on what you have for us. If you would, please help us to forget about those things that so much capture our minds and take our attention. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God could have free reign in and through our hearts and minds to speak to us. And help us to see our mission on our way to our mission. And I pray that you would use us in a way that would even be exceeding abundantly above that which we could ever ask or think. Father, would you stir hearts tonight for your glory? Please. We'll give you praise and glory for it, and we love you. And we'll trust it by faith in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I heard a missionary say one time, a long, long time ago, when I was in a conference, that it attracted my attention so much that I wrote it in the flyleaf of my Bible. And I've gone back to it on a regular amount of time. And that statement is very simply this: many missionaries miss their mission on their way to the mission field. I thought that was a very interesting statement, especially if you apply it to an individual. Because I believe sometimes individuals also miss their mission on their way to their mission. You say, I'm not really sure what you mean. Well, probably the majority of you already have tomorrow already all planned out. You maybe even already have your alarm clock set. You have clothes in order. You have meals already packed. The day is pretty much planned out. But from the time that you leave your house until you get to that destination, you might have some locations where you stop. One of those places might be the gas station. How many times have you ever been at the gas station? And right on the other side of the gas pump, there's a person obviously going through some struggles of life. You can see it written all over their face. And the Holy Spirit of God seems to press upon your heart. You could be an encouragement to that person. Give them a gospel tract. And you look at your watch and you see what time it is and you look around and you see all the circumstances and you come up with every reason possible to miss your mission on your way to your mission. And you don't give them anything. Ladies, you've seen it in the grocery store, have you not? You've been in the grocery store and you've been walking down the aisles and you look down the aisle and there is a mother with two babies on her hips and four in the buggy and she's doing everything she possibly can to try to get the groceries done. She's struggling. And the Holy Spirit says you could be a blessing to her. Take a few moments and go be an encouragement to her. But again, you look around and all the circumstances give you every reason not to, and you walk right past your mission on your way to your mission. We need to be sensitive. If our prayer regularly is, Lord, order my steps in your word. If that is your prayer, then you ought to believe that every step that God allows you to take is not only taking you in a direction, but is taking you in that direction at that appointed time for a specific reason. You get up at a certain time. It takes you a certain amount of time to do things on purpose because God is ordering your step. And he might put you in front of somebody tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, next week, that you might be the only Jesus that person is ever going to see. What are you going to do with that? It's not something that you can plan. It's not something that you can prepare for. It's a mission that God has in store for you on your way to your mission. We see that a little bit right here in Acts chapter number 17. Notice it says in Acts chapter 17, right off the very first word, now. Whenever you see the word now, the word now is probably there because something else has just happened. You use that word now in conversation. You'll say, now that we've done this. In other words, something just happened and now we're going to continue on. Well, what is the something that just happened right here in the Apostle Paul? Well, that's another message, but you know the conversion of the Philippian jailer, right? And you know right there in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Notice when this took place. It took place when, church? At midnight. As a pastor for some 25 years, I had the awesome privilege of being by the bedside of many folks who are about ready to be ushered into glory. And the amazing thing is most of the time, not always, but most of the time, if it was a death by natural causes, that took place somewhere between midnight and 2 a.m. I don't know why. I didn't know why. I do know why now because I sought out medical advice from that. I went to some doctors. I said, see if you can help me. Why is it that so many times the preachers are called out at 2 o'clock in the morning for these folks that are about ready to be ushered into heaven? He said, it's a really good question, but there is also a really good answer. He said, at 2 o'clock in the morning is the time that your body is the weakest to fight off whatever ails them. It's the time it's shut down the most and it's the weakest. And if they're ready, that's the time that they're going to go. The midnight hour. You might be in a midnight hour. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know if you have finances that's bothering you. I don't know if you have health issues. I don't know if it's family, job. I don't know. But I do know this. The midnight hours, when dealt with biblically, will carry you through to where when you get out the other side, you'll be closer to God than you ever have been before. What did Paul do during the midnight hours? Notice it says in verse number 25, he prayed and sang praises. Notice in verse number 25, he prayed and sang praises. Just in case you missed that, in verse number 25, see it right there? He prayed and sang praises. Notice he prayed before he sang praises. Listen, I'm not against singing praises, and I'm certainly not against praying, but I am relatively sure that the order there is important. I say that because there's a whole lot of praise singing going on today in a lot of organizations and not a lot of praying. And a lot of time the praise singing happens way before prayer is even considered. But we need to pray more than we need to sing. But one thing we need to do is if you're in that midnight hour, a wonderful thing for you to do would be to pray and to sing praises. What happened to the sound of amazing grace? How sweet the sound. What happened to the sound of victory in Jesus and the old rugged cross and oh for a thousand tongues and on we can go? What happened to those songs being sung in the kitchen, in the bedroom, in the home? Remember when Grandma used to sing them? Remember when Grandma used to be around the pot, around the stove, and she'd just be humming? You know, she's not humming a lot of the junk that you hear today. She's humming the old hymns of the faith, because there's some power, there's some substance, there's some relativity in those things, amen? Let me encourage you, sing the praises. You say, preacher, nothing personal, but if you heard me sing, you'd know why I don't. I wonder who gave you that voice. You see, if the reason you're not singing is because you're concerned about how you sound, you might just as well say, God, you really messed up when you gave me this voice. But he didn't mess up. And you don't need to sing to them. You need to sing to him. Amen. And he already knows what you sound like, and so you don't even need to try to improve it. He already knows. And probably if you try to improve it, it's going to be worse than when you started. So just sing praises to God. When it's a difficult time for you, sing praises. Not only did he sing praises and pray, but he also saw God's power. Verse 27, and seeing the prison doors open, he saw the power of God in his midnight hour. One of the best things for you to see when it's most difficult for you, you're so far down, it's like you got to look up to a worm's belly, sing the praises of God, and look for God's power. It's everywhere. God's power's everywhere. It was everywhere this morning. It wasn't a matter of walking out and seeing the beautiful sunshine, the beautiful sunrise, and so on. It was a matter of walking out and seeing the monsoon. That is the power of God that only God can do. But we have a hard time thanking God for those times. We sure have a good time thanking God when it's 72 and beautiful sunrise. That's wonderful. But what about when it's raining and the farmers are saying glory to God and we're going, stop raining? Amen, farmers? Not only did he sing praises and pray and see the power of God, but notice also in verse number 31, he shouted the promises of God. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When it's difficult, shout his promises. They're all through the Word of God. Amen? They're everywhere in Scripture. Shout his promises. And then we get to verse number 1, now. Now after all of that, when they had passed through. See that right there? When they did what, church? Passed through Amphipolis and Paulonia. They came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was. As his manner was. Every time Paul got to town, one of the first things he did was go into the synagogue. One of the first things he did was went to the church house. He went to the church house and preached the gospel. Because the apostle Paul knew that the natural man understands not the things of the scripture. He knew that if a person does not know Jesus Christ as their personal savior, I can preach anything I want, they're not going to be able to understand it. We need to make sure we heed to that too. When we're out soul winning on the streets, be very, very careful not to let them get you off point of the gospel. They're not going to understand end times. They're not going to understand what's going on with the economy. They're not going to biblically understand any of those things if they've not been saved anyway. And so stay with the gospel. He went to the synagogue and he preached the gospel. And what was the result of that? The Bible says, verse number 3, opening and alleging the gospel, that Christ needs must suffer, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Look at the result. 4, and some believed. I like it when somebody believes. Amen. Amen. I like it when you go do what God's told you to do and somebody believes. Amen. That's always a blessing. It's always a benefit. Whenever the preacher stands and preaches, he preaches the truth of the Word of God and somebody agrees and believes and leaves the pew and comes to the altar and does business with God. Amen. What a wonderful thing that is. Some believed. But also, verse 5, but the Jews which believe not. There's always going to be people that believe you. There's always going to be people that do not believe you. Just keep doing what God's called you to do. Amen. Amen. Now Paul moves from Thessalonica to Berea. Now the people at Berea are very different than those in Thessalonica. What makes them different? Look with me at verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that, number 1, they, what's the next word in your Bible, church? Is it received or heard? It's received, isn't it? It doesn't say they heard the word. It says they received the word. You see, we have a lot of hearing going on today. We don't have a whole lot of receiving going on today. We have a lot of people sitting in the pews and they'll hear what the preacher is saying. It kind of tickles their ears and kind of gets a little ways in there. But once it gets to the point of being received, it just is eliminated because of all the distractions around them. Now, I don't know a whole lot of you. I do know several of you. I don't know a lot of you. And I certainly am not wanting to make any enemies, but I'm probably about to. So just bear with me, okay? Just for a second. Men, the ladies understand this a whole lot better than we do. Sorry, that's just the way that it is. You say, what do you mean? They understand listening to the point of receiving. We understand making you think we're listening. We're nowhere in the ballpark. Not at all. You say, what are you talking about? I'm going to teach you a lesson, Jessica, right? That will help you for a long, long time. Okay? If a guy comes up to you and he starts talking to you and looks you right in the eyes like I'm doing right now, making you very, very uncomfortable in front of all these people, and you're in a regular conversation with him, let me encourage you. Here is something you never, ever, 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 what's my next word? Ever. What's my next word? Ever. Never do this. Never ask this question. Are you listening to me? Did you get that? Never ask a guy, are you listening to me? You know why? He's going to lie to you. It's just the way it is. Because we can be in conversation like this, and we can be talking about whatever that it is, and as far as you're concerned, I'm listening to you, right? Because I'm looking at you right in the eyes. But the bottom line is, I'm thinking, if you don't stop talking to me, I'm never getting to the golf course. If you don't stop talking to me, I'm never getting the lawn mowed. I mean, a man has got his mind gone way out there, but you think, am I telling the truth or not? This is just the way that it is. It's the way that it is. They were more noble because why? They didn't just hear, they received. There's a big difference in the two. You can hear a lot, and it never changes you. If you receive it, it's going to change you. And so the question bears asking, when's the last time you sat under the preaching of the Word of God and it changed you? I don't mean you just walked out the door and said, man, that's good preaching. And then you went about life the way that it was when you came in. I'm talking about when the preaching took place, you walked out the door and you were different and you still are because of the preaching of the Word of God. It changed you. What made them more noble is that, number one, they didn't just hear the Word of God, they received the Word of God. Not only did they receive the Word of God, but why did they receive the Word of God? Well, look at it right there in verse number 11, with all readiness of mind. You know why they received the Word of God, church? They got ready to receive the Word of God. They got ready. Maybe on Monday. They started getting ready to receive the Word of God on Sunday. Say, what can I do on Monday to get ready to receive the Word of God on Sunday? Maybe pray for your preacher in regards to what he's going to preach. Amen. I can hear some of you right now. I'm supposed to pray for the preacher in regards to what he's going to preach? Seriously? Well, I don't know. You tell me. Where does preacher get his messages? Maybe he visits an old sword of the Lord. You know, one that you haven't read in a long time and you won't recognize when he preaches that message that he really liked. You know, no, that's not where he gets them. You know where he gets them? He is on his face before a holy God, begging God, what would you have me to preach? You have been in prayer, talking to God Almighty. Well, maybe some of you were. Maybe. Because you see, in order to get in that position where you're in prayer, talking to God Almighty, it's probably a good thing for you to go there alone. We have a lot of problems with Christians not really getting alone with God today. In fact, let me just put it this way. Sometimes you might need to, see this thing right here? You might need to, don't have a stroke, breathe in, breathe out. It's okay to not have it by you. It really is. It's okay. Isn't it amazing? that we will be in prayer. We will be in prayer to God Almighty. We say our Father, and that we get instant access right into the throne room of Almighty God. He is listening to us. He is receiving everything that we say, and He has nothing but our best interest in mind. He only wants the best for us. And He's listening to us. And our cell phone rings, and we go, "Hey, how's it going?" Really? Really? You just did that to God? Except, it really isn't like that. God knows. Yeah, He sure does. He does. Doesn't that bother you when someone does that to you? What must it do to God Almighty? You see, it really isn't the problem just with the cell phone. It's really just the problem of getting alone with God. Getting in that prayer room, getting in that prayer closet, getting in that prayer place where you're not in front of the computer, you're not with your cell phone, you're not with the radio on or the television on, you're alone with God. And you have His attention and He has your attention, and you're saying, "Father, you know how much I'm struggling with this particular passage of Scripture, and it would be amazing if you would lay that portion of Scripture on Pastor's heart sometime that he might teach through that passage of Scripture. Lord, would you do that?" And then here's what we do as human beings. We get to church the next Sunday. And you know what we do? The preacher says, "Take your Bibles and turn to," and it's that same passage. And you immediately say, "Who's been talking to the preacher about me?" Instead of giving God glory, you immediately put the blame on someone else. It's called God is answering your prayer. Amen. Amen? Quit putting the blame out there somewhere. If the preaching is right where you've been asking God to preach, then receive it. "Yeah, but I don't like what he said." Okay, receive it. Amen? It's the preaching of the Word of God. They got ready. Maybe they got ready on Monday. Maybe they started getting ready for church on Saturday night. Maybe. Why is it on Saturday night? That's the night that we stay out later than any other night of the week. Why is that? Then when we get up on Sunday morning, we're so tired that we can't stay awake for church. Why not make Saturday night the time to get ready for church? Why not? Hello? It's okay. Really, it'd be all right to do that. Get ready for church on Saturday night. Maybe it's Sunday morning. Maybe it's when you pull into the parking lot of the church house, you leave your personal agenda out there. Out there. Don't bring it in here. You see, the church house is the place of worship. And worship is everything about God and nothing about us. Worship is everything about God and nothing about us. Let me say that again. Worship is everything about God and nothing about us. That's one of the big beefs that I personally have with a lot of the new stuff that's going on in a lot of our churches. It's nothing more than an entertainment show, everything about them and nothing about God. It's everything about Him and nothing about me. And when we bring our personal agenda into the church house, it then becomes me. You say, what are you talking about? You know, like, who in the world chose this color of carpet? Are you serious? And these walls, why doesn't somebody put some color in this place? And the glare off those light bulbs, and why is it always so cold? Why is it always too warm? Why is it always too loud? Why is it always too long? Why is it never short enough? By the way, that too long of a service, what is wrong with us on too long of a service thing? You know what's wrong with us? We got up in the morning, we got ready with electricity, we got into our car, we drove to church, We got out and sat in a comfortable pew, and for some reason, the service is too long. That's exactly why. Go to India with us, where they walk for 8 hours just to get to a service. And I promise you, if you walk for 8 hours to get to a service, if you're preached to for 30 minutes, you are upset. I'm walking for 30 minutes of preaching? Uh-uh. You're preaching some more. Even if you don't know what you're saying, say something. Amen? You see, it's all about the perspective. It's all about getting ready. And our personal agendas a lot of times stop that from happening. I know of a church in Michigan. If I said it, many of you would actually know it. This was years ago. I know of a church that absolutely nearly split that church right down the middle over the color of toilet paper in the women's bathroom. You say, no way. Satan said, absolutely. If that's what it takes, he doesn't care what it is. He'll take whatever he can use. But it was personal. It was a personal agenda. A personal agenda. I had a preacher just call me just this last week. He said, preacher, I need you to pray for me. I said, I'll be glad to. What's the matter? He said, people hate my wife. I said, whoa, stop right there. What do you mean? He said, my wife was in the kitchen during a fellowship meal just this last Sunday night. And she asked a lady if she could help her find a spoon. And the woman said, what, don't you think I can find a spoon on my own? And made her mad because she asked her if she could find a spoon. I wonder what the agenda was there. And now he's got his hands full because the woman doesn't think it's the pastor's wife's responsibility to help her find a spoon. She must think that she has a mental problem or something. Satan will use anything he can use, and it always comes back to a personal agenda. The reason that they were different is because they got ready to receive the word. Leave it out there. Come in here and worship Almighty God. Pray. Seek God's face. Sing His praises. And let God do things exceeding abundantly above anything that you could ever ask or think. And how do you know that it was effective? Because, 11, they searched the Scriptures daily. That's evidence of whether or not you've received the word, that you take the word home and you study that passage of scripture and it blesses your heart and you come back to the preacher and say, preacher, last week you preached from Luke chapter number 16. And I just want you to know, by the way, your preacher just went, you remember where I preached from last week? I mean, that'll give the, yeah, some of you are laughing. Where did your preacher preach from last week? Duh, don't answer. If you don't trust that short pencil more than that long memory, you're not going to remember where that was. However, you go to him and you let him know what you preached. God, I went home and I studied it out and it was a blessing. Some of you are not getting that right there. Let me pause right there and add on that just a little bit. Has anybody ever had somebody come up to you and say, hey, will you pray about something? And you say, absolutely, I'd be glad to pray about that. And you never did. You didn't mean not to. You really did not mean not to. You just plain forgot. You didn't write it down. You forgot. That's all. You're in church the next Sunday. You're up here talking to somebody and your eye catches that person walking in the door and the Holy Spirit says, remember when you said you'd pray for that person? And you go, oh, Heavenly Father, please, in Jesus' name I pray that you... We've all gone through that, have we not? Here's the question. If you told somebody you would pray for them, how do they know that you did? You walk up to them. Last week you asked me to pray about a personal situation that's going on in your life. I just wondered, how's that going? And you go, wow, you must really be praying because you asked. Try that with your preacher sometime. Seriously, try to walk up to him sometime and say, you know, last week you preached from such and such, and man, now don't lie. You know, don't tell him that you went home and studied that thing and you didn't study it. But if you went home and studied out that passage and it blessed your heart, let him know. That's how he knows that you're not just hearing the word, but that you're receiving it. Now, we've gone from Thessalonica to Berea. Now, we go to Athens. Now at Athens, notice it says in verse 15, and they that conducted Paul, what's your next word? Brought him to Athens. The reason that word brought is so important is because if you were to go to your missionary journeys in the maps, you know, in the back of your Bibles and look over Paul's missionary journeys, you are not going to find this stop on his missionary itinerary. He was not planning on going there. The only reason he's there is because his friends, is because he had people that brought him there while he waited for his two friends to come join him to continue on about his missionary journey. And so Paul is at a place that he was not planning on being at on his way to his next mission stop. And he finds himself on a mission on his way to his mission. And what does he do with it? The Bible says, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, say the next few words out loud with me, his spirit was stirred in him. Stop. His spirit was stirred in him. What does it take to stir your spirit? What's it take to stir you up? Don't misunderstand. You might not understand the kind of stirring that this was. Because I know what kind of stirring can stir some of you up. I could get all of you that are 70 years and older, I could bring you all up here and set you all down right here and start talking about politics and make you so mad at me that you'd kill me if you could. Hello? I learned a long time ago, don't ask somebody over 70 anything about politics unless you want to hear what you don't want to hear for a lot longer than you want to listen. Absolutely. I mean, it'll flat out make some people mad. That is a type of stirring. If that doesn't get you, how about the price of gasoline? Are you one of those people that will drive all the way across town to save 3 cents a gallon? You paid more to get across town. It's the principle behind the thing. Amen? Man, it'll stir you up. Is that what was Paul standing at Athens looking out and seeing the price of gasoline? Is that what made him mad? No. Was it he saw election campaign posters all over the place and that kind? No, that's not what it was. The Bible says his spirit was stirred in him, look at it, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You can read the commentaries, and the commentaries will tell you that from the vantage point that Paul was standing at, looking out over Athens, it would have been easier for him to have seen an idol than a human being. Now, don't let your mind go too far, but just think about what he must have been looking at. As the Apostle Paul is standing from this mound, looking out over Athens, and he sees the smoke rising from all the altars of sacrifice to the unknown gods. And as he sees people that are so far away from anything to do with the gospel, would you agree with me that probably most people would say, Paul, I'm not sure what you're thinking right here, but if you're thinking on preaching the gospel and you think they're going to listen, you're wasting your time. What do you think? You think most people would have said, Paul, come on, let's go. Your friends are here. Let's go to the next stop. This is a missionary journey. You got a place to be. And probably nobody would have said a thing to him. But his spirit got stirred up. And when his spirit got stirred up, he could not avoid what he was looking at and just let it go. Paul, they're not going to leave those altars and come and listen to you preach. You are wasting your time trying to preach the gospel to these people. They're steeped in their idolatry. They have been for years, and they're going to be for years. Let's go on where we can get some people that will pay attention to us. That's probably what he heard. But that's not what he did. No. You know what he did? He preached the gospel. That amazing message on Mars Hill. You know what that message was? It was the gospel. You say, how do you know that? Look real quick with me. Verse number 23. In the middle. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. The end of the verse, him declare I unto you. He's about to declare to them the God that was sufficient to meet their every need. He's about to declare to them the God that will take them away from all those false idols of sacrifice and let them see the God that offered the sacrifice once and for all of their sins. He's about to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Verse number of 24, God that made the world. In the middle, he is the Lord. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Verse number 30, in the end, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent because, the end of 31, he hath raised him from the dead. Sounds like the gospel to me. And what is the result? Look at verse number 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, stop. When they heard, if they heard, they had to stop and listen. If they heard, they had to turn their attention away from that altar and pay attention to that preacher. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, well preacher, keep reading. Some mocked. Some. There's always going to be some that mock. There's some people driving by this building right now. They're mocking. Look at all those idiots parked in that church parking lot. I mean, they really think there's any answers in there? Do you know what's an amazing thing about truth? It doesn't matter what they think about truth. It's still truth. It doesn't matter if you share someone the gospel and tell them unless you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to die and burn in hell forever. And if they might say, you are out of your mind, doesn't change the fact that they're going to burn forever. They're still going to. It's still true. People's opinions of the truth doesn't change the truth. Some mocked, but look at it. And others said, we will hear thee again. Of this matter. Seriously? Seriously, church? Somebody said, whoa, preach that some more. We want to hear that again. We want to hear a little bit more of that. When's the last time that happened to you? When's the last time you sat under the preaching of the Word of God and the preacher said, close your Bibles, let's pray, and you go, oh, no. No, let's don't stop. You see, the problem, most of us say, man, I wish he'd have said that 10 minutes ago. In fact, for me right now, it's 11 minutes ago. Some of you already checked out on me 11 minutes ago. I mean, it is 11 minutes after the hour that we're supposed to be out of here. But you drove here comfortably, and you're sitting pretty comfortably, and it's pretty comfortable in here. And for some reason, you need to leave. What stirs us up? Some of these people believe, but it even gets better. Verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. At least two people left their altar, came up close to the Apostle Paul and said, I believe. Because he got stirred up and saw his mission on his way to his mission, somebody got saved. And at First Bible International, we are trying to go into these places where they are steeped in their idol worship. Where we have people that are sitting in pews just like this all over this wonderful country saying, you are wasting your time. You're trying to go to an unreached people. They're unreached and they're going to stay unreached. You need to go where you can get the most bang for your buck. You need to leave them alone. They're getting what they deserve. But you know what? something happened to this preacher. Something has happened to a few people around this country, and they've got stirred up for the uttermost. And there's some people like Sarah Glover. Where is that family? God bless her heart. That goes into a people group in Papua New Guinea who has no written language whatsoever and has gotten them an alphabet and has taught them how to read and now has the Gospel of Luke ready to print. You know why? Do you know why that happened? Because she got stirred up. She wouldn't. You could offer her anything that you wanted to. You couldn't change her. She got stirred up. And we need some people that'll get stirred up. Amen. For the gospel. Here. You see, there's no way that we can burden your heart for somebody on the other side of the world if you don't even care about people here. If you have not found yourself at this altar with tears because you have a family member, as far as you know, shows no evidence of being saved at all, if you're not begging God for that family member to be saved, how in the world are you going to beg God for someone on the other side of the world that you're never going to meet to be saved? You're working side by side with somebody that, as far as you know, if they were to die tonight, they would burn forever in the place the Bible calls hell, and you haven't one time begged God to save them. You're not going to beg God for somebody you're never going to meet. We need to get stirred up for the gospel here and around the world. Amen. What's it going to take? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would please stir us up. Lord, would you stir up this church?